This Thanksgiving week,
we are so incredibly thankful for you, for this church family that we get to be together with. What a privilege it is to do life together as a community of faith. And this morning, we are so pleased to be worshiping together with Reverend Sylvia Morris and the members of the Payne Church congregation as one big family of faith. We are so glad you're here. Whether this is your first Sunday or your 1,000th at Stone Church, we hope you'll take a moment to let us know that you're here, either by filling out the attendance form in the green welcome pad at the end of your row, or by following the QR code in your bulletin, or if you're over Zoom, by clicking on the link in the chat room. And while you're at it, take a moment to share any joys or concerns that are on your heart. You have prayer cards in the row beside you, or you can type them into the chat thread over Zoom. The children will collect them a little bit later in the service. We are entering a wonderful season in the life of our church. Advent begins next week. There are materials in the back to guide you through the weeks ahead, a calendar with ideas for each day, and a book with poems and pictures reflecting the scriptures we will be studying together each week. Beginning this Wednesday at 7 p.m. over Zoom, our Advent Heart devotional series returns. It is a beautiful experience as Donna leads us in reflections on original works of art that help us enter into the Advent stories in new ways. You don't have to be an art scholar to participate. Anyone of any age can notice things and share them with you. This coming Saturday is our alternative Christmas gifts bazaar over in Ellis Hall. The ACGB is a wonderful way to get into the spirit of the season by purchasing gifts that do a lot of good in the community and around the world. Next Sunday, our Advent worship series begins. Each week during that series, we'll have a mini Christmas pageant that tells part of this Christmas story you won't want to miss. Please plan to stick around for a little while after worship next week for a brief congregational tour as we look back at the year gone by and choose leaders to guide us into our future. If you've got a few minutes after the service this week, we hope you'll stick around to help us bring down some of the wreaths and Christmas trees into the sanctuary space so that our elves can work at decorating in the week ahead. Advent all begins next week, but this week, you're also in for a treat. This morning, we are going to tell the entire story of the book of Revelation. We've been planning this for many times, so excited. Back in seminary, they used to say that preaching is a lot like explaining a joke, that sometimes we'd be better off to just tell the story better. That may be especially true of the book of Revelation. As Eugene Boring writes, it was designed to be read aloud and heard all at once in the context of worship. This is not optional. Revelation must be grasped as a whole, for it simply cannot be understood verse by verse. It's a narrative, a drama with action and movement that conveys the message of each part within the context of the story in its totality.
So strap in, because this morning we are going to try to do just that. Him to show his servants what must soon take place. And he made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testified to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads the words of the prophecy. And blessed are those who hear and keep what is written in it, for the time is near. So it begins.
To the seven churches that are in Asia. Grace to you and peace, and from him who is and was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth. To he who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him. So it is to be. Amen. I, John, your brother who share with you in the persecution and in the kingdom of our Lord, was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus.
Please find the rhythm of Now, John was very, very caught up in the Spirit on that Lord's day. He was surrounded by 7 lampstands and instructed to write 7 letters and send them to the churches. Man, it would be fun to read those letters today, wouldn't it? Oh, Henry! Henry, do you have a letter? Bring it up here! Oh, Ephesus! Let's see what John wrote. Oh my. It's a performance review of the church, complete with positive and negative feedback, a pastoral telling of the truth, while also offering some encouragement. Let's see. Oh, yes. Now, surely, you remember that Ephesus was quite the busy place. A major port city, it's home of the governor. Plus, it had an impressive temple to the goddess Artemis. Ephesus was huge, and the Christian population would have been very small, meeting in house churches. Oh, but it says here that they are enduring suffering without growing weary. They're also not tolerating any evildoers. Their work and their endurance and their toil, all of those get high marks in this review. Oh. But while they seem to still love God, they don't seem to be doing very well at loving each other. My, how the mighty have fallen. And if they can't remember how they used to love each other, if they can't repent, they will be removed from among the lampstands. But if they can change their hearts and their lives, then they will get to eat from the tree of life. Whew, that's encouraging. Wonder if we'll get another one. Anyone else see a letter floating around? Yay! Oh, here comes Smyrna. Thank you, Cece. Let's see how they're doing. You know, Smyrna was another port city. It's a really, really beautiful one. They were very, very loyal to Rome there. Goodness, wow. It seems that the church in Smyrna is being persecuted. Persecuted by those who claim to be Jews and by other Roman authorities. They're being forced into poverty and even being jailed. Huh. This performance review has no growing edges for the church in Smyrna. Rightfully so, with all they must be going through. But it does encourage them to hold on, to not be afraid, to be faithful even to death. And if they can do that, they'll receive the crown of life and escape the second death. Wow. Henry, do you have another one for me? Pergamum! Oh my goodness. Yes, yes, Pergamum. You know, Pergamum, it sits in the shadow of this massive altar to Zeus. And they're being praised for holding fast to their faith. Even after one of them was martyred, was killed. That's awful. Oh, wait. Some of them are not staying true. Some are making accommodations to the culture around them, eating food sacrificed to idols and being immoral. So the church is encouraged to hold fast, and for those who are sinning to repent, or else they will be at war with Christ. But if they can hear and listen to the Spirit, then they will be given hidden manna and a stone with a new name. Oh, Cece, thanks. Awesome. Thyatira. Let's see what we've got here. You know, Thyatira was a trade city. There was a lot of money. I mean, a lot of money flowing through that city. And this church seems to have grown, as in their works have gotten better. It says that their faith and their love, their service and witness are all named as things that have improved. But I think they may be trying to avoid some of the economic hardship that has occurred in other cities. So they might be tolerating some things they should not, and also refusing to repent. Whew, that is not going to end well. Says here, if they don't turn it around, distress and death. An example will be made of them so that everyone will know that God is in command. But if they hold fast, they will be given authority over other nations and the morning star, if they hear and listen to the Spirit. Wow, what's going on in y'all's pew that you keep finding these? Sardis. Ah, Sardis. Yes, what do we have here? You know, there's a funny story, or a funny thing to know about Sardis. Sardis had this really impressive Acropolis, and it was breached by a sneak attack, and invaders took the city. Not once, but twice. How embarrassing. Now, as for this performance review, well, I guess a few people in the church are walking with Jesus, upright and clean, but I think that the majority of them must be enjoying a reputation for being good while at the same time doing things that are not so good. It's almost like they are dead. No spirit, no completeness, just the shell of a faith. So this letter, it says, wake up, or else Christ will come like a thief in a sneak attack. They need to remember what they have seen and heard and let it change their hearts. If they do, if they hear and listen, then they will be clean, walking with Jesus, and he will speak their names into the scroll of life. There's another one. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, my dear. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Now, this is a city where the church often found itself in conflict with the Jews and with the very strong Greek culture that was present there. Oh, huh. You know, like Smyrna, they don't receive a reprimand in Philadelphia. There's no growing edges in this performance review, no things they need to work on, and instead it says they've stayed true and that with endurance they have not denied Christ, even though they don't have any power. They continue to do good works. Oh, John's encouraging them to resist, to remain faithful, and that if they do, they will be protected in the time of trial. They're reassured. John reassures them that Christ is coming soon. So hold on, listen and hear, and they will become pillars in the temple in the new Jerusalem. Number 7, the 7 churches, Laodicea. Oh my, what do we have here? It's a long one. Whew. You know, Laodicea was a really wealthy city too, but good grief, the water was terrible. There were some hot springs nearby, and so the water was pumped in, but by the time it got there, it was all tepid and full of minerals, and it made you want to spit it out. Even still, it was a bustling metropolis, a center for banking and trade for black wool, and they had this special eye salve. The medical community there had developed a powder salve thing that you put on your eyes. I can't wait to see how the church is doing. Oh. My word, there is not one good thing that can be said about this church, not one. Despite all of their wealth, they have so much money, but it says they're actually miserable, pathetic, poor, blind, and naked. They are like lukewarm water about to be spit out of the mouth of Christ. It says they're maintaining the status quo by embracing the lifestyle of the elite and of the powerful while they're still calling themselves Christ followers. This letter tells them, pick a side. Choose where you will stand, it says. Either be hot or cold. Don't be something in between. Either stand with Christ or stand with Rome. Even still, it encourages them. It says, Christ is standing at the door, Christ is waiting for you to welcome him in. All they have to do is completely make over their lives. Full turnaround. Repentance. Wow. No small task. You know, so much of the challenge in these performance reviews letters is rooted in standing up or standing out for Christ and for Christ's ways of doing things, not blending in for the sake of security, and then the encouragement to hold on, to stay true, to stay faithful.
Pastor Cindy, I found one more.
You did? Wait, Ephesus. Laodicea, Smyrna, Pergamum. There should only be seven, but
there's an eighth.
Stone Church of the Brethren. I wonder what it says.
It's time for the younger among us to join me up front. If you've got a prayer card, hold it up high, and one of the kids will grab it on the way up. I'm so glad you're here. Cyrus, can you go give this to Mom? Thanks. Welcome, you guys. I am so glad that you're all here. And if anybody else wants to come forward, you are more than welcome. Parents can come along, too. It's just fine.
Dad, Mom.
Here, come on up. Come on up. Make way for our new friends. Make some space for our new friends. I'm so glad you're here. I want to show you something. This is my stuffed lion from when I was a kid. His name is Aslan. That's right. From The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Now, maybe you've read that story, and maybe you haven't, but I remember reading it with our kids, and when we got to near the end, Ezra, you leaned over, and you said, "Hey, Aslan is just like Jesus." And then Everett and Cyrus, you all started sharing together how Aslan the lion in the book is a lot like the stories of Jesus that you knew from Sunday school. That totally happened, true life. Which is great because, oh, awesome. Which is great because that is the whole point. C.S. Lewis, who wrote The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, was trying to help us understand the story of Jesus better by showing it to us in a different way. In this fantastic world of lions and fauns and witches and other creatures.
And centaurs.
And centaurs, that's right. Do you know the book that we're reading together in church today? That's right, it's called Revelation. That's a big word. What does Revelation mean? Not quite revolution. Change, yeah.
Yeah. You know, looking back on something and trying to make a change.
You know another word that's really similar to it. The word reveal. Revelation means to reveal. And that's exactly what John, the writer of Revelation, was trying to do. He was trying to help us understand the truth about Jesus better by showing us the story in a new way. In a sense, he was pulling back the curtain and revealing the cosmic story, showing us what was really happening behind the scenes. Let's watch.
A great portent appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Now, who do you think the pregnant woman is in this story?
Mary.
Mary, that's right. So why do you think John is picturing her here with a crown of stars? I don't remember that from the Christmas pageant. He's helping us. Yeah, Ezra. He's helping us see, yeah, that she's important, like the angels, almost.